is Shayna
and Shelly,
and we are bad queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club. So you definitely heard a new name in the introduction, because as you all know, and if you didn't tune in last week, you missed a huge announcement. But basically, Chris is on maternity leave. So we got one of our favorite people who has come and hung out with us on the podcast before, Shelly, joining for the next few weeks as our special guest host. Shelly, welcome to Bad Queers.
My God, thank you. So Shayna gave me the sexy microphone and I feel like I'm on Frasier. Like, I feel like when people call and ask for advice in like the 90s, I can be like, well, listener, or sorry, caller, you know, but I'm probably going to hold it because I want to sound sexy.
You sound sexy. It's a whole different, it's a whole different vibe when you're holding a microphone and gives you like talk show vibes.
I know. I feel this. Like, I feel like I'm on Jenny Jones. Oh, I'm aging myself. Whatever. Anyway.
Going fully from Frasier to Jenny Jones.
I just am. It's fine. I'm essentially 78 years old. It's okay. But I'm so excited.
Excited to have you. I was like, so if you haven't tuned in previously, Shelly's been on multiple episodes with us. But Shelly, if you wanted to give like your like 30 second to a minute introduction of who you are, could you please go ahead? No pressure, but like, you know, who are you?
I am Shelly Nicole. I am culture editor at Autostraddle, and I am also a freelance writer. I am a culture critic, like Rotten Tomatoes approved, cherry picks, all those good things. I'm obsessed with film and TV. It's been my life since I was a kiddo, and I live in Chicago. I'm a Taurus. I love candy, and... I love candy, and I love Trixie Mattel and Juno Birch. I would go to Nevermore Academy. That's from the new Netflix show Wednesday.
Not to
be twisted with, I think it's called Ivermore Academy from Harry Potter, which is the United States version of Hogwarts. All right. I'm also a nerd. But yeah, that's it. That's who I think I am.
That's the perfect introduction.
Thank you.
And I just learned something.
I'm gay. I forgot. I'm gay.
I was like, that is a part of our vetting process for anybody who's going to be a guest host.
Absolutely. I forgot to say that.
Are you gay? Yes.
Checkbox. Yes, I am.
Please and thank you.
Definitely giving me talk show vibes. I could have a talk show, but I don't want all that attention on me, so I actually would not. I'm more of a radio personality, so
this is perfect.
This is fucking splendid. This is great. My bad for cussing all the time. So
no, that's the freedom of this podcast, is that you could say what you want when you want. And
sorry, my scarf keeps falling off. It's okay, y'all. I'm ready.
You are ready. You're going to be out here crushing it. Come on. So Shelly's going to join us for the next few weeks. We're going to be going through the podcast similarly as usual, and we'll probably have a few guests on and things like that. So it's going to be a fun time, so that you get extra airtime with Shelly. Chris will be back some point in November. So that is when we'll circle back. But for now, we're going to enjoy having Shelly. So, we're going to go ahead and start with our Queer Urban Dictionary segment. And Shelly, I'm going to let you go ahead and go first.
Oh my God. I don't know. Why am I nervous? Okay. So my word is, it's more of a phrase, but like whatever. My Queer Urban Dictionary is lesbian bed death. Mm. And the definition is the idea that lesbian couples experience a sharp decline in sexual activity over the course of a relationship. And like I said, I got this from Autostraddle, where I am culture editor. I promise not to always talk about Autostraddle, but like, I also don't promise not to talk about Autostraddle all the
time. That's fair.
Our sex and dating editor, Ro, over there is doing something called the Gay BCs of sex. Ooh. And they're going to do a definition, a word every month. And that's the one that I picked, mainly because of the picture. So you have to go to the website to see the picture.
Oh, come on, getting the clickbait.
Yeah.
Some views on this article.
Yeah. Clicky, click, click. Look at that.
We'll be sure to put
look at me cross branded.
Sure, you know, we'll be sure to put that link in the description for y'all so that you can go ahead and click and get that cross brand.
I also kind of want to say it's like not something I believe in. You know, I feel like I think that in relationships, like I think they all have ups and downs with sex, but not like I'm not saying like ups and downs like bad times and good times. I just feels like just like ebb and flows, you know. But like I think that's with literally even the straights too. So the fact that like dykes get it like the bad end of the stick, that's the wrong term, whatever. It's not what we used in 1942. I feel like, yeah, it happens to, I think sex and relationships ebb and flow. And I just hate that it's like lesbians are the only ones who get it. So
right.
The bed death thing.
I agree with that. And I was literally about to ask you, like, if you agreed with that statement. And do you feel like some people can just flip it?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, kind of, do you feel like there's people I've had discussions with that think that like lesbian bed death is just because you stop trying?
Oh, I mean, I do think that, like, I think everything needs a conversation, right? I feel like if something is happening or if there's like the frequency in sex is changed for somebody in the relationship, then I think instead of jumping to being like, this is bad and terrible and there's so many things behind it, it could just be like, oh, my bad, I was working. Like, right. Or I just, you know, I feel like everything warrants a conversation. So I think it, like I said, I think ebbs and flows. And I think so there's so many fucking factors, right? There's work, there's mental health. There's also sometimes you're just like, why can't we just eat chicken and watch TV? Like, you know what I mean? And I don't even eat chicken like that. So I don't know why I use chicken. Tacos. Why can't we just watch tacos and like watch tacos and eat TV? That's what I was going to say. You know exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly.
But like, I just feel like, you know, I think it all differs. Everything warrants a conversation. And I just hate that the bad part of it, I'm doing quotes, yeah, air quotes, the bad part of it is always like lesbians. When it's like straight people be out here too complaining. They do it on Twitter all the time, talk about this. So yeah.
That's lesbians don't deserve that. I love it.
No, they don't deserve that. What's your word?
My Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is trade. Word's been going around. Beyonce's out here singing about it. Big Frida featuring on Break Myself. So we're talking about trade. So trade falls into two categories. One, men who identify as straight, but they dabble or they have dabbled in queer sexual practices. Also, the Wikipedia article that I got from this, the fact that they said queer sexual practices just sent me. and two, gay men who purposely or consequently present as straight. And they do this because it has like a desire for emotional fulfillment, admiration, but the term really often refers to straight men who partners with gay men for economic benefit, aka they want that shmoney, they want gifts, they want pay. That's what they're out here for. So
okay, you know, I've never heard the actual definition of trade. Right? Like I've never heard the, like I feel like, okay, I feel like I can spot trade, okay? Like, but I've never had the full definition of it. Like if someone came to me and asked me like what's trade, I would have to point someone out versus saying something. Accurate. You know?
Yeah. This is the first time I've seen the full definition. And I was just like, oh, this all makes sense. Like I saw other definitions and I was like, that's not correct. And then I read this one. I was like, this is accurate.
That's incorrect. You know what? Also, I'm trash because how awesome would a dictionary be that's just all pictures? It would be so funny. Like avocado. And it's just a picture of avocado.
Yep. Some of us need that.
I need that. I would love that. That is a gigantic book. That would be a gigantic. And dictionaries are already huge. Sorry. I'm also insane for everyone who's listening. So just follow me in my thought process. My poor girlfriend. Welcome. I'd be putting them through it. They'd be like, yeah, baby. And
I'm like, yep. Okay, babe.
That's great. Love them for it. Love it. But that's so cool. I love that definition.
Here you go. I was like, we're bringing it in. It's like the word of the summer right now. So I had to do it. So here we are. Well, let's go ahead and get into our category is. So we're going to praise Billy Porter. Our first category was chosen by Shelly. So Shelly, once again, I'll let you kick it off.
Okay. This is a great transition because I was just talking about my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So I force everybody in my life since I was a kid to watch things that I want to watch. Mm-hmm. My cousin Kenyatta and I used to get in fights all the time because I would be like, we're going to watch Xena. Like, this is my house. Yep. Actually, it's your house, but I don't care. We're going to watch this. So I am constantly like everybody in my life or whatever. But obviously, I spend a lot of time with my girlfriend. And they watch a lot of really good TV and stuff, too. But we just have like different tastes mm-hmm. in film and TV. Like they like little things that are a little bit more dramatic and stuff. I like things that are like comedy, rom-com, scary kind of stuff. But anyway, we were watching, they were watching the show first. It's called Bad Sisters on Apple TV. And I didn't find it because I sleep on Apple TV still. And after this, I won't anymore because, you mm-hmm. know, Ted Lasso, there's a show Loot that I don't really like.
Maybe I love it.
I should give it another try. I've only seen Loot. One episode. I should give it another try.
I'm almost at the end of the season. You'll love it.
Okay. So I'll have to give it another try because I do love Maya Rudolph, but I just like wasn't laughing. And I was mm-hmm. like, anyway, but it's called Bad Sisters and it's on Apple TV. And my girlfriend was watching it first and told me about it. It's about, it's going to make you so mad. And it features like a one-eyed dyke, right? Which is great. She's like a hot Irish pirate, modern. Okay. And it's super great. So it's about these, I think there's five of them, sisters, who are, they live in Ireland. And one of them is married to this complete fucking asshole, is like too light to mm-hmm. describe him. Y'all have to watch it. Shannon, you have to watch it. Okay. It's so good. The guy, the husband is going to make you upset. Like, I'm getting so pissed just thinking about it. But anyway, he dies. Like, and basically the show shows us, we're trying to figure out how he did. Mm-hmm. And he's the husband of one of the sisters. And they all hate him and all the stuff like that. But it unravels and it's so, so good. And it's gay because, like I said, the one-eyed dyke is a dyke. And she has
the Irish pirate.
Yeah, the Irish, hot Irish pirate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Irish pirate. That sounds like a deodorant. Right. But like, it's so good. It's so, so, so good. It's so good. And if you ever watch this other show called, I think, like, One Way Down or something, it's also Irish. It's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. The sister on there is like the main sister on here. It's just really good. And I can't tell you about it without spoiling it.
Yeah.
But it's, if you have like an Apple Watch, wear it while you're watching and like keep track of your heartbeat whenever he comes on. Dude, I'm telling you, I haven't seen a worse character on television that I hate so much other than Nate from Ted Lasso in like recent times.
Yeah, no, Nate flipped us.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was wondering about that show too, because when I saw the graphic, because it was just like, clearly it was just a coffin with like some dude's shoes, one woman sitting on the couch, and then all these other white women. So I was just like, oh, this is just another white woman show that's going to white woman. And so I was
absolutely.
Like, I'm not really going to get into it. But these are the things that get me to watch a show, is when you tell me like, oh, there's a gay element into it. And I'm like, well, add it to my watch list. That's all I needed to know.
It's so good. Like I hadn't even like heard of it until they were watching it. But mm-hmm. now I'm obsessed. It comes out every week. I think there's like 6 episodes out now. Mm-hmm. But it's so good. So that's mine.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, adding that to my list. And yeah, you need to go back and watch Loot, because
okay, I'm gonna give it a try. I'll give it another
great
try.
Great lighthearted, like casual watch.
I guess I just need to give it another try. I just was like, what is this? Also, I don't like the guy that's her assistant.
What he gets might better. Have
okay. I he just gets better. Like, I just don't enjoy him as a yeah.
Yeah. But, I'm not going to say that he's giving like a 5-star performance, but okay. He does get better.
Yeah. Okay. Then things. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah,
you got to do that. All right. Great. Okay. I'm excited for this next category is. So our next category is, we're talking about the WNBA. Shelly.
Yes. Are you about to ask if I'm an expert in the WNBA? I'm an expert, first of all. Yes. There's several that are, there's Sue Bird.
Mm-hmm.
There's her wife.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't play in the NBA, but yes, we're going to count her.
Oh, shit. Then that's all I got.
I'm so proud of you.
They look cute off the court. You better be glad I didn't say off the pitch or off the field.
Well, if you did say that, then it would have been referring to her wife who plays soccer.
Rapinoe.
Yes.
Niggas love her for some reason.
Yeah.
It's because she's fly.
She just started a campaign with Victoria's Secret. And I was like, oh, are we bringing Victoria's Secret back? Because I figured after the Lena Bloom situation that we were.
Yeah. So we My mom has a Victoria's Secret credit card. Mm-hmm. And every Christmas, she gives me $150 on it to like buy a bunch of panties. And I do it every year. So that's my contribution.
That's where we're at.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you, Mom. Shout
but I don't know anything else about the WNBA. They're pretty.
Well, you're about to get a high-key summary. So the WNBA Finals just happened, and it was the Las Vegas Aces against the Connecticut Sun, and this was a huge year because both of them have made it to the finals, but they've never won. So both teams have never won a WNBA Finals and became, like, the world champions, which I hate that we do in America, that we consider ourselves world champions when it's like there are other women's leagues around the world, but the audacity of the U.S. So the Las Vegas Aces won the series 3-1. So it was out of five. So congratulations to them. And this was exciting because Asia Wilson, who is a prodigy of the South Carolina Gamecocks over there, and she has like a whole statue on campus and everything. And her coach was Dawn Staley, and it's a big thing. And so everybody was hoping that Asia Wilson was going to win. And also the Aces are just a chaotic team. And they're super fun. And so all of their celebrations have been absolutely chaotic. Like, there was a point where Asia Wilson was like, where are the Four Locos at? We're out here drinking. And I was like, not Four Locos.
We not Four Locos.
No, she told everybody.
Four Locos are the same anymore anyway.
They're not. Okay. They changed the ingredients from when we were in school.
Oh, thank God.
It hurts, doesn't it?
It hurts so bad.
Which flavor was the one that did you in?
Oh, green?
Mine was blue.
And then I followed it up with the balls. Yeah, no. I did. I sure did. I was dangerous.
How are you here today?
Who can say? Who can say?
This is not like, I just don't. She literally did. She announced, like, she was like, where are the Four Locos at? Four Locos Twitter responded and said, I've been summoned. Like, I was just like, no, stop. Like, I can't. She told everybody that they should not show up to the parade unless they are four shots in. She said the kids could have four shots of ginger ale and everybody else had to show up four shots in. So as soon as they got on stage, she was like, how many of y'all are four shots in? And everybody's like, yeah, four. I was just like, I can't. Oh, she came up
so cool,
spraying a gold bottle of champagne. Everybody came out with drinks. And mind you, they started at 8 a.m. in Vegas and they shut down the strip for them. And they had like their whole parade.
Vegas too. Yep. So like,
this is the first time that any Vegas team has brought home a championship since like 1940 or something.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's so cool though. I don't know too much about like the WNBA or like any other sport. The only sport that I like really like is like baseball. And I've been getting more into football, like the real football, soccer, but football. But I know that like the Chicago Sky is like a team and stuff like that. Cause you and I are both in Chicago. So like,
yes.
But that's like super cool. I love that. I love that they're getting like, praise, you feel me? Like, it's just really cool. I mean, I really wish that they would get more respect. Like, I don't know a lot, but I do know that they're they're often overlooked, 100%. Which definitely does suck, you know, but that's so cool. I'm so happy that they won. And oh, I love that. I wonder if any of them are like friends with like NBA players.
Oh, yeah, they are
like friends.
They had multiple NBA players and like other major male sports athletes that came to the games and like sat on the floor seats.
Oh, that's so cool. I think just that alone is very like their presence there at the game, which kind of I also know is like saying something to be like their presence, but still, like, it's just, that's cool. I love it. A little support, you know? Oh, she's got to stop drinking Four Locos though. Has anyone checked on her?
You know, I haven't It's, so the parade happened yesterday and she did tweet like, ha 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 ha, we lit, ha 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 ha, like with no spaces. So I was just like,
so she remembers nothing is what you're saying.
That's what I feel like. Like, I'm glad that everybody documented what happened for the team, because they all came out like cigars, champagne bottles, chugging stuff, taking shots, like from the bus. Like, mind you, this event started at like 8 a.m. And then they were there Vegas. Until the nighttime. And then I can only imagine what they did after.
Oh, strip club for sure. Immediately.
I hope that's exactly what they did.
That is absolutely what they did. One, if that wasn't like on the agenda, I would be super upset. Strip clubs are fun. I would be super upset. You know, one thing I don't agree with. I hate when people waste champagne because I'm not rich. And maybe that's why. And I love bubbles. If anyone knows anything about me.
Yeah.
I won't drink water, but I'll drink some bubbles. Mm-hmm. And when I see that happening, I'm like, oh, yay, it's like fun time. But also, like, how much was it? Like, you know, like, but I, that's poor people problems. You know what I mean? And that's me. So I guess we're answered that question.
We are. Yeah. Well, then you would have, when I send you that video of Asia Wilson shaking and perfectly, she did a perfect spray, though, of a full gold champagne bottle. That's, yeah, okay. That.
I love that for them.
So, you know, it's great. The another fun fact that was going into this was that their coach, Becky Hammon, who also played in the WNBA, this is her first WNBA trophy. Like, she played, I think, for like 7 or 8 seasons and she never made it to a final. So this is also her first WNBA trophy. So full circle. We love to see it. Congratulations.
Congrats. I have a question. I have a question that I think I may be correct about. That's a fact. Who knows if this will stay in? Cheryl Swoops? WNBA?
Yes.
Yes? Oh, look at me. Good job. I know everything about sports stars to know. Absolutely. Look at that. I'm a star. God damn
look
it.
At you. Stunting on him.
Can't wait to be on ESPN sitting there with Skip. I know Skip. That's his name, ain't it? Is that his name? I know that's his name because of my fucking girlfriend. His name is Skip and he wears chains. He's adorable.
Well, I look at your girlfriend doing the work. Getting you on board with the sports.
With the sports.
I know. I was like, you didn't join my flag football league, but we're gonna get you to watch stuff.
Okay. I knew you were gonna call me out on that. I've been busy, but I am going to, I have excuses, none that I'm going to list, and I will participate, perhaps. Look at the nails.
Showing the nails means absolutely not. The moment that I told you, okay, so y'all, let me give you this little quick backstory on what's happening. So most of you know, I play flag football and our flag football season started and Shelly and I were hanging out one night and she was mentioning how she wanted to get more involved in the community and wanted to play the sports.
I did. I said that.
And I said, and I mentioned, you know, all of the sports that were available. And she was like, no, I want to play flag football with you. And I was like, great. I am going to share the details with you so that you can come and like try it out and see what's going on with flag football. And I was explaining to her what we did. And the more that I explained to her, the more I could see that she was no longer going to sign up for flag
football. I just didn't know all that was involved.
I had to explain that, like, yes, people will hit you. Was one, and how the flags actually worked. And then the thing that I think sent her over the edge was when I said, oh, by the way, you're going to have to cut your nails. If you had seen her face when I told her, you would have thought that I slapped the shit out of her. And
you did, essentially. Essentially, you did. I thought it was a little like, give me the flag. Like, touch.
Keep it friendly.
And yeah, keep it cute, even. Just like, you know, and funny enough, I did have my nails off all last week because I was like saving time to get them done. And I just got a new set. So,
yes, as I dropped off the microphone, you were at the nail salon. And
that is exactly what
happened. That's what happened. So full circle moment. So I look forward to you coming and watching and supporting so that you know what's going on and we can get you in the spring.
Can't wait to be cute.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to our last category is because I'm very proud of this and knowing Shelly's watching films and TV and everything, I needed to discuss this. I finally finished P-Valley. I finished all of it. I did it.
I'm not going to ask. Go ahead. Continue.
No, go ahead and ask. I need to know.
I just want to know, how do you feel?
First off, okay, I'm going to break down. First of all, P-Valley does not get the credit that it deserves.
It doesn't.
It does not. That is an incredible, impeccable show. From all of the characters, all of the villains, all of the winners, all of the things, like some of the stuff you could guess and some of the stuff was a whole plot twist. And it was just a beautiful balance of that. And how they handled COVID in that situation. I was like, this is real life.
Honestly, yeah. And I think, because COVID was the most recent season. Mm-hmm. And I go up and down with like liking COVID in like my fake realities and stuff of like, yeah, watching film and TV, because I'm like, do we need it? Like, no, but because we experienced it, you know. And I guess that's like also just me coming from being like a queer, dark-skinned, black, fat person who, mm-hmm, has so many of these, like I'm a part of so many marginalized communities where I'm trying to escape so much, you know.
Yeah.
But with COVID, I'm like, okay. And it was done so well. It was like one of the few shows where I was like, okay, this is actually really good. Mm-hmm. The way that they handled it. It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the show. I love it.
It's so great. I knew. Okay. For second season, I knew that DJ bitch was up to something. She was too nosy. She knew too much.
Now, side note, in real life, her and what's his name? Diamond.
Yeah. Diamond. Or whatever. Tell me they're together.
They're together in real life.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that cute?
Oh my God, I love that so much.
And I think
so then she gets to play crazy within the show, which is even better. She just gets
to act better. If I had a pass and I would be like, baby, I'm acting.
I would live if I could act against my partner and then be that like crazy bitch and then turn around and be like, but babe, I love you.
That shit crazy? Oh my God. I love it. Oh my God. But that was really good. I also on a little deeper level, I love how they talk about colorism,
mm-hmm,
in the show, how they really address that. And bad fat black girl Cecily Bowen, I don't know if you like know her, but she actually did like an IG live or no like a little video the other day talking about how like she hadn't really seen that talked about in a lot of the articles about the show. Mm-hmm. But like, I really love how they talk about colorism, because I think we still act like we're so over the hill for that. And like,
right,
where it's just so behind us. And they're in the South. You know what I mean? They're in Chuckalisa. What is it? Chuckalisa, Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
Like, what? Like, that doesn't even like fit on like a line. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. I love that. I mean, and then I actually wasn't too fond of the queerness between like the cis women on the show. Like, mm-hmm, I was just like, whatever. I mean, I love Mercedes so much, but I was like, whatever.
I just love that she was in it for the money.
That's what I'm saying. And I was just like, okay, girl, like I get it. So
I was like, you better get that studio.
Yeah.
And understand that like pleasure is pleasure.
For sure. Like, I was neither here nor there. I mean, it was super hot. Like, don't get me wrong, but I was just like, okay, whatever. But I mean, come on, the sex scenes between the cis men in the show, like fucking stunning, beautiful. Two black men, mm-hmm, two niggas, like,
yep,
and niggas in every sense of the word. Like, we just said that they are in the South. Like, imagine two gutter Southern niggas fucking, mm-hmm, and loving and making love and being kind, but still, it was great. It was just great. And I love him. Outside of the show, and he'd be loving on his wife, and I think that's very important that he don't say shit in interviews, and I'm gonna wrap this up, but he don't say shit in interviews that's like, oh well, you know, I'm straight in real life and da da da, because he's like, I'm just fucking acting. And he's married, he's like straight, he has this beautiful little wife who he is like literally obsessed with, mm-hmm, like he loves her. And I'm talking about Lil Murda.
Yeah.
But he's like obsessed with it, but he never is
saying shit like, you know how some niggas do. They'll like play gay and then be like, but, you know, no homo type shit. He'll be like, right. No, I'm acting. And also like, what's the fucking problem with that anyway?
Yeah.
And I love the show. It's a binge.
Yeah.
But
naturally, we watched the last three episodes last night.
Yeah. And I had to save them up because honestly, I didn't know if I was going to feel like a smudgeon triggered and stuff like that. But they were really, really, really good at that. But yeah, I love it. I'm so glad you watched it.
I'm so glad. Like even the way that they covered so many different forms of trauma, but also like so many different forms of love, from Uncle Clifford with his grandma to the throwbacks to his mom to finding love. But also Uncle Clifford, besides the fact that Uncle Clifford is iconic, like just fully in everything that their character does, understanding like, seeing the hurt of just being left, but understanding like I can be present in this moment right now. Yeah. And then I'm going to also go ahead and push you away, but also have my mom come in and tell me like, girl,
yeah,
let's get it together. And to see like Lil Murda kind of like going through where he's just like, but I want to take off. But then I have this love. But then I'm there to witness the most tragic thing that you could ever happen with a friend and a former lover and coming out of prison. There was just so much from Mississippi story and the realities. Mm. I think that was one of the best portrayals of like abuse. Like I say that and like that's terrible to be like,
No.
Like, but it's like real. Real in the way. Yeah. It was absolutely handled beautifully. And it broke down the realities of what it can look like. Cause the moment when she came back and she was about to be free, and I was just like, this is too good to be true. And I hate that it's too good to be true. And then seeing what happens next and just how manipulative her boyfriend was, but how all of those good moments come in. I think that was the best way to like not showcase it in a light. Like a lot of people are just like, oh, like why didn't you leave? And why didn't you leave? And I think it actually answered the question of why somebody didn't leave.
Yeah. It's a tough watch. It's a great show. Who's your favorite character?
Oh, that's a good question. I was like, honestly, I think it is. I really think it's Uncle Clifford. I just love their character so much. And then Loretta Devine is iconic, obviously.
So that is my thing. When I was watching it, I was just super happy about Loretta. I don't know. I just love seeing, maybe like this ties into like Shirley Ralph and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I just love seeing those people from like back in the day who like, I don't want to say should be forgotten about because no, they like absolutely shouldn't or whatever. But I just love seeing them get their flowers. And like, I love Loretta Devine more than anything. So I think that was so great. I love Roulette.
Oh yeah. Roulette is a gangster.
If I were ever that, I'm not. Mm-hmm. That's not my ministry at all. Right. But that is how I would want to do it. Like, she's a fucking badass, but also her story and then the way like they address colorism with her is just, it was super great. And I love the show. I love it.
Agreed. So good. So I finally caught up, y'all. It took a minute, but we got there and we are full circle. So that wraps up our categories. Let's go ahead to our advice segment. Am I a bad queer? This is so funny to be reading this because usually it's Chris. So for anybody who ever wants to reach out and share their Am I a Bad Queer, you can reach us at badqueers@theherapp.com via email, or you can DM us at badqueerspod on IG. So let's go ahead and get started. Our first Am I a Bad Queer comes from Bree. Bree says, Dear Bad Queers, my name is Bree. I'm a 26-year-old African-American, non-binary AFAB, aka assigned female at birth. I have recently come out as non-binary, and for as long as I can remember, I've been obsessed with growing a beard. Even though I don't consider myself trans, I am a more masculine presenting person. I'm constantly misgendered and it makes me uncomfortable. I am fortunate enough to have a loving girlfriend who is honestly the only person in my life who uses my correct pronouns, family included. Go ahead. You better keep them. Am I a bad queer if I want to take tea in order to grow a beard, even though I don't consider myself trans? Bree. Oh, I see you.
You see me? You want me to go first?
Go for it.
You know, it's really hard for me. I don't know if it's an earth sign thing. I don't like giving advice, right? It terrifies, because my main thing of it is like, who the fuck am I? Mm. You feel me? It's just like, but, and maybe that's like, I don't like doing like even unsolicited advice, but when it's solicited, I'm like, okay, you asked, you feel me? And cause like I've answered, we have like YNH on auto straddle, and I've answered some questions there, but I just be like, when those publish, I'm like, no comments, no comments. But for this, I mean, I think the question was basically like, was a big part of it was, am I a bad queer if I want to take tea in order to grow a beard, even though I don't consider myself trans? I don't think that you're a bad queer for that. I'm speaking from a cis female point of view, though. So I know, like, you know, grain of salt, but I don't think you're a bad queer. I think that you want to figure out more of your identity, and that also includes how you want to present. And I think it's your business, you feel me? And if it makes you feel good, I think you should do it. And I also, again, like I said, POV from a cis woman, like, but I don't think that you necessarily have to identify as trans in order to take tea anyway, you feel me? I feel like there's so many other, I'm not like a doctor or anything, but there's so many other benefits that come from it that could help you with like certain dosages and things like that. But no, I don't think that you're back queer for that at all. I do think that you need to stop letting people not use your correct pronouns. And I know that like may be difficult because everyone has their own time with that, like stepping up for yourself and shit like that. But at a certain point, you'll get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you'll be like, no, you feel me? But yeah, I don't think you're bad queer for that at all. And I think anyone who says you are bad queer for that is like kind of a jerk and a hamster, and I don't like them. So yeah, I'll explain the hamster later.
Thank you. I was like, that's something I need to circle back on say that. But yeah, I agree. I agree with Shelley. When it comes to our identities and how we present, I think everybody also limits like gender dysphoria just to trans folks. And it's like, that's not the case. And there's no, also when it comes to the non-binary identity, there's no one right way to be non-binary. I think the best thing about folks who identify as non-binary is that you've taken the first step to your own personal identity freedom. And anybody who identifies as non-binary gets to like fully own that in whatever way that you want to. Like, I think anybody who identifies as non-binary is fantastic because you have literally set yourself up to just like be who you want to be. And I think if this is what you want to do, then go ahead and do it. Like, there is no thing that says, unless you identify as trans, you cannot have a beard.
Right.
Like, that's not written in any invisible rule book or anything like that. So I think you just need to be able to give yourself permission to go and do you.
Yeah. Wait, can I say something else?
Absolutely.
I also think that maybe in the meantime, what you can do, like if maybe, because I know that tea is still, no matter the dose, it's still like a big decision, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because you are changing things that about your body and stuff like that, that could be permanent, but maybe not, you know? So, but what I maybe think you should consider doing is checking out like drag kings, and a lot of them do tutorials on TikTok about like how they do their stashes, how they do their beards and stuff like that on stage and also off stage too, you know? So just getting like, you could test it out and see like, oh, this is, and maybe like in the meantime, as the tea, if you do decide to do tea and as it starts to work its magic, you can still have that on you anyway, like to help with how you feel you're physically identifying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just be like a little extra step. But yeah, I know there's a lot of really dope drag kings out there who do those tutorials. Right now, I don't have any at the top of my head, but I know there is one that I talked about before, and I'll try to find it and put it in the episode notes. But that's just something to do too, you know?
Perfect. At the end of the day, Bree, it is your choice.
Yeah.
So you do you, homie. And thank you so much for writing in. All right, Shelley, you got the next one.
I do. Okay, so this person is named T. And the question is, am I a bad queer for dating a married woman? She is in the process of a divorce, but they still live together. He is actively dating too. I have mad feelings for her and she has expressed the same. I've just never been in a situation where I've had to deal with someone who's still technically taken, and I still want her to be my girlfriend. Thanks, T. You go first. Because I'm not.
Oh, your face. Your face as it was happening. Look, anytime you're in like one of these situations where there is, stop it, where there are what I call, what I'm lately been calling just like, you know, where there are leftovers, as you know, communication is 100% the thing and actions are 100% the thing. I think if this person is clearly and consistently communicating with you and they are backing it up with actions to show for it, and there haven't really been any issues or any crossover that you've had to deal with in terms of the divorce, and she has constantly been keeping you updated and stuff, and cool, y'all are adults. She's getting out of the situation she wasn't happy with. You two are happy. You've, if you've been able to share your feelings, like you said you had mad feelings for her. She has expressed the same. If the actions are following the words, sure, why not? Why not? Let her be your girlfriend. Probably wait for the papers to be signed, but you know, go for it.
I honestly agree. My only thing with this is I hate messy. And even though, because I think the key to this is communication, like you said, right? Like, as long as everything is above board and she is like letting you know, here we are in the this phase of the divorce or whatever, and her part, her ex-partner is dating too, like there's nothing there, right? Yep. As long as like you're being communicative about it all, like I think it's fine. To me, it just, and that just could be my mind, like in some way it just feels like it has the opportunity to get a little messy, and I don't
100%
enjoy that. Like I just like I feel like it still has the opportunity to get messy. Everybody's being clear about everything. But I think what you also need to do is I think you need to also be super clear and letting them know that you are nervous, essentially, about this, or that it feels weird. Like you, I think you should be like, I've never been in this situation, and maybe preface it with being like, I'm not saying I want to leave this situation or I don't want to keep going. But I think you should also be like, I feel a little bit fucking weird because like you're technically still married. I want you to be my girlfriend. I've never done this before, and like talk that through with them. Mm-hmm. But I think there's space, there's room for everyone's feelings in this. And that's something like I've actually had to recently learn, or I've learned, been learning recently. But I think everything's fine, but I just feel like there's an opportunity for it to get messy. And I like, I genuinely hate mess. It is the earth sign in me that hates it. And I can't even watch shit like 90 Day Fiancé,
yeah,
or like Real Housewives.
Or Love is Blind.
Can you watch that? Oh, no. No, Love at First Sight. Oh my God. My girlfriend loves this show. I can't. I get cringe. And it's because like, it's so messy. Like I literally hate mess. Like it makes me so just like, ooh. So I think it's fine, but be careful.
Be like, all of that to say, I think it's fine. Go for
I
it.
Wouldn't do it.
It couldn't be me. It could not be me.
Couldn't and wouldn't, honey. Mm-mm. No, mama. But I think absolutely not.
That's a great point that you point out to, while you all are expressing the positive feelings, like address the awkward feelings too. I think that's a good thing.
I like that you didn't say negative, because they're not negative feelings. Mm. They're just awkward feelings. They're feelings you're having. And mm-hmm. I think you should address those too, because you wrote into a whole ass podcast like you're that nervous about it. You should probably say something to her. Like, but not, like, again, that's just
you,
me.
You wrote into a whole podcast.
And like, yeah, you should probably like address that with her too. Yeah. But like, good luck.
This is when
I told you I'm just terrible like, at giving advice.
We're just like, here you go. Happy Pride. Thank you. good luck, T. Thank you so much. Okay, so this last person is anonymous. So I've decided that this person is Alice from the L Word. Just felt right, especially because Showtime dropped all of their stuff today for the next season. So felt right.
Fitting.
Am I a bad queer? I'm a trans woman out for 2 years now, and I don't understand why drag isn't considered by cis women and trans women alike as the equivalent of blackface. But I'm afraid to ask anyone because I know this question is quote unquote bad. I know the esteemed position drag queens hold in the queer community. Hoping someone can affirm my discomfort or educate me. No matter what, thanks again for your show. Thanks, Alice from the L Word.
Okay. So let me get this straight. They don't understand why drag, like, done by cis women?
No, that, like, drag in general, like, drag how it is, isn't okay. considered by, like, cis women and trans women as, like, the equivalent of blackface.
Like, they, like, because
like the energy of blackface, because you have generally cis men dressing up as women. So why isn't that considered, like, the same as, like, white people putting on blackface?
I mean, that feels like a stretch, mama. That feels like a reach. Like, that's a big dig to me. That's a huge dig. Like, blackface is inherently terrible. I mean, you have to think about the things that are behind such a thing, right? Like, blackface is blackface. You feel me? Like, white people dressing up back in the day as entertainment. You feel me? Like, all these things. And also, a lot of times they will put black people in blackface to further make fun of them. You feel me? Like, you're literally not black. And like, it's, I feel like, and that's all wrapped in racism. That's all wrapped in all these kind of things, right? That's not an expression. Blackface is not a creative expression. Like, back in those times, it was considered that, but even then, it was wrong, right? Yeah. White people, I will never believe if there's a white person in this world or whoever, a non-black person who comes up to me and is like, I wear blackface because it makes me feel more like who I really think I am. Mm-hmm. Or I wear blackface because it's a creative way to show the world the creative juices that are inside me. Like, absolutely the fuck not. Like, the same thing with the girls who are nigger fishing, but that's a whole other thing that we can talk about. Drag is a creative expression, but it can also be deeper than that, right? It could be a way for people to feel more comfortable in the skin that they're in, that they're not able to or ready to fully be in, right? But it's creative. It's not bad. And I just think, and I'm a cis woman, and I just don't think that that's those don't match to me, mama. I just don't think those are the thing. And I know, last thing, I know a lot of people say that cis women shouldn't be doing drag, right? Because there's a lot of cis women who do drag. I think that's trash too. I think it's just another way to, like, express. Now, what I low-key do take issue with, because drag is, for the most part, and has always been a space for queer folks, I take huge issue with straight folks doing drag. Because it feels like this is an expression for us to be like, oh my God, I'm not accepted anywhere else. Like, you as a straight cis dude, and I know there was just one on, like, one of these seasons of Drag Race.
This last, like, season.
You are literally a straight cis white dude. You are literally welcome everywhere, who is conveniently attractive and able-bodied and thin. Like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, I'm sorry. That I did not rock with. Because one more thing, because with that, it was because, like, when I was watching Drag Race, I don't watch it as much anymore, but, like, there are moments of true bonding happening in that workroom where they talk about their past. Unfortunately, it is some trauma bonding, right? But they're talking about all these things, and not saying, like, as a cis white, conveniently attractive, able-bodied, thin dude that you can't have issues, but what you got? You feel me? Like, and I just found it. I don't like that. I don't like them. I don't like that. But what you're saying, I just don't. I think it's a reach. And I'm finished.
I live. I was like, this is the whole point of this podcast, is continue talking about the things. I was like, that going in reverse, the straight guy that was on RuPaul's Drag Race, that when we discussed that at the time, that was a whole conversation. of things. And then it was like to see how they all interacted with him as well during the show. Like that was one of the few times that I've watched RuPaul's Drag Race. Like I hadn't really watched it until this. And then I was like, ooh, Scandal. I will be watching. Like, thank you. Like, let me tune in. I'm like, as much as you're like, I avoid mess. I'm like, you know, in real life, I want to avoid mess. But in shows, I'm like,
that is everybody but me. And I can't get there. But
yeah. I just need it because then it's almost like it trains me to watch for it in real life. So then I'm like, just,
oh, I like
no,
that.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that's my flip on that. For this, to add like another, like if we go back like deep, deep, deep in like drag history, it really started during like Shakespearean times because they didn't have like enough women around to play certain parts. And so then they had men dress up as women to play the roles that were needed. So for that, like, yes, it was an entertainment purpose, but it wasn't an entertainment purpose that made fun of women by any means. And that was that the part that Shelley was pointing out when it comes to blackface. That was all entertainment inherently made to further discrimination and segregation and overall just make really bad fun of black folks and not give them any sort of dignity or pride or anything. It just like tore down our identities. And with that, it was like that was the thing that started as a place of entertainment. And there, and because of that, like that was one of those things where also because of the rules that were put in place for those performances, like church, like a lot of the times the performances happen in churches and they wouldn't allow women into those spaces. So the men had to play women parts. And that's on sexism. So
that part, like there's so many layers, right?
You know, so then it's like as you continue thinking about the history of drag, it's like there's no space where it is inherently making fun of or tearing down women, which is why we wouldn't say that it does compare in this way. Like I feel the energy that you wanted to put out when it comes to this.
Exactly.
I feel the energy. And this is why those two things.
Yeah, I think the blackface connection is just where it's like such a reach. I mean, I do get what you're saying too. Like, I see the energy, but it's not it. Yeah, it's not it. I mean, because there are some, and that's not to say that there's not some drag that's bad that like does make fun of black people or people of color, or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's not that. But that's not like what the energy of it is like supposed to be. Like blackface was supposed to be to fucking humiliate and make fun of niggas. Like, so, yeah, I just can't agree with this.
Yep.
But like, you know, enjoy.
Yeah. I was like, if you ever want to know like the full history of like drag and the things of where it came from. I mainly only know this because of this article that I re-looked up. So it's literally called The Fabulous History of Drag, and it was done by BBC. So go and check it out. And it gives like a full breakdown of all different things. It leads to drag balls and drag ball culture and like things like that. So it gives the full picture. So I highly suggest that you go and check that out. You can literally Google history of drag queens and it's like the first article that pops up.
That sounds dope. And I think I just enjoy that drag is evolving, right? Like inclusion of like trans folks and stuff like that. But I'm sorry, you just cannot, you'll be hard pressed to convince me that a straight, no, you have everything else.
Yeah. I like, feel like that, like if there's anything that straight men just don't need to win anymore. So we could just be like, no, it's like everybody else could do it, but no, not you.
Yeah. Like go not away. You. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Well, Shelley, you did a phenomenal job for your first official Am I a Bad Queer?
Oh my God, so thank you. I cannot wait to answer more questions. I'm going to be just as terrible and I'm very excited. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
You know, for everybody else who wants to, get fabulous advice, mainly from Shelley. I'm just here to hype her up. You can email us over at badqueers@theherapp.com or DM us at badqueerspod on IG. So let's go ahead and move on to our bad queer opinions, because what type of bad queers would we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? I know that this section always tends to stress you out, Shelley, but you always do a great job with it.
Every fucking
you do a great
that
job
I've
with
been
it.
On, I have been stressed about this segment.
But you do such a good job.
I think this is the part where I've just like, my heart is beating and I already have a heart condition, so I should chill. But like my heart is going out of my chest right now. But like, yes, I'm ready.
It's going to be two great. Hands. Well, here, two hands. Well, here, I'll go first to ease you
I'm
into
so
it.
So excited to hear you
go with these things. Okay. So this is one of those things that I've also realized the more that I play sports and we have our like after hangouts, I have started to pay attention to this. And I like now that I'm actually back out and about, like hanging out with people at bars and stuff, I'm like, I see this. So my bad queer opinion is that, and I think I might've discussed this before, but I'm circling back to it because it needs to be discussed again. Queer women are not ride or dies to like bars, clubs, or parties like gay men are. We are not consistent. We do not show up and show out. Gay men will, it doesn't matter what they're doing. If that party is happening, they will be there. If it is at their favorite bar, they will be there. If their favorite drag queen is there, they will be there, and nothing will, they will just go and spend a Monday at a bar watching their favorite show. Like they are committed to the cause. They throw down the funds and we do not. We do not. Even for like the parties that happen like once a month or anything like that, it could be that week and you're just like, you know, I'm just not in the mood. And it's like, no, we have to show up for the small things that we have because we don't have a lot. And I feel like we need to commit to the cause. We got to step it up.
Okay.
Nope. Say your piece. There's a lot of facial expressions. Say your piece. You can agree. You know,
I mean,
that
you
this
put your foot in that response. I did. So you said
that doesn't mean I'm not open for discussion.
Okay, here's what I think, right? I Shelly, think that I agree.
Yes.
Yes, I do agree with you. But it's more of a yes and, right? I feel like that the gays also bypass on stuff. I feel like the gays do be at home and stuff. I feel like the gay boys do be like, you know what? I went to brunch. Let me not go out tonight. But I also feel like they have more spaces in general. And I honestly just don't feel hella welcome in gay male spaces, especially, sorry, that's a whole other thing. But anyway, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, that conversation we could definitely have. Where it's like, no, they go out of their way to make sure that we don't. And especially now that like I hang out, I live around the corner from Boys Town. Like,
you
I literally
live around
2 second
from
walk.
Boys Town.
So
yeah.
One on their schedule of like brunch, another club, whatever. They do it. It is out of control how much
they do it.
They do it. But yes, I agree with you on the whole, like, may not feel comfortable. Like, unless I am there with my guy friends that I'm supposed to be there with. And it's almost like I had to be brought in to that part. That part, yes, I 100% agree with.
But it's also not like an excuse, right? Like I do enjoy going out and I do love it. And the thing is, it's so hard. And that's why I do it. That's why I said yes and. Mm-hmm. Like, but it is very hard to get the girls to want to be out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, too, when I'm out, I have it in me. I'll be out until like 2, or sometimes I'm like, it's midnight. I want to go the fuck home. Or sometimes I'm like out with my girlfriend and all horned up. And I'm like, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go leave and sin. You know what I mean? Like, but I do agree with you. And it does suck. And it is hard. But also, I think some of this also comes down to the marketing of the places that are for us, mm-hmm. like the dyke bars and stuff like that. Like, stop making dyke bars that play like soft music or have like a poetry night or have all like this pretty lighting and shit like that. Make it raunchy, mm-hmm. make it dope, put on. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love stuff like, what's the part? Small World.
Yeah.
Like Small World. I feel like if Small World were a bar, baby, like, it's a blast.
It would be P Valley, like, all in there.
And I just feel like the setup of some of the stuff that is meant for us is always so soft and so gentile and so like, let's hold hands and mm-hmm. all that kind of shit. But so yeah, I agree. But also, I think the gays be wanting to like hang out at home too. But
I
yeah,
I was like re-immersed in all of this gay boy life, and I'm just like, wow, y'all just don't.
You're
it's like the Energizer
fucking corner,
it's like the
dude,
Energizer like, bunny. and they just keep going. Like, it was at the point where we were like walking toward my house and we stopped in another bar, and then they wanted to like backtrack. Mind you, the bar that they wanted to backtrack to was like two doors down. And I was like, nope, that's two doors further away from my house. I'm going home. And they were just like, no. But it's like when we have bars that like are owned by queer women and things like that, I want us to start just like going and taking it over. Just go and like show up and show out. Like there are a few that we use for our flag football league. And to know that like before we got in there, it was just kind of empty, or it was like three or four regulars and that was it. And it was just because like our league picked it for that. So then it's like, okay, yes, we show up, but then let's make sure we're bringing our friends to show up and say like, hey, if there's a sports game on, we are going to this bar because it is a queer owned bar and we need to watch it. And the owner is queer and things like that. Or if there are specific nights that we're just like, nope, first place that we should think of, or the first place that we should take our friends and things like that. Like we should just be like committed to it. Like I know in like San Diego, Gossip Grill.
I was just going to say,
like, that's like one of the only ones there. It could have been one of the only ones that like people just don't show up to, but they do. They show up and show out. Here in Chicago, there's really not much, but it's like, you know, we need to show up at places like Nobody's Darling. We need to show up at places like Whiskey Girl and things like that. That
have you been to Dorothy Downstairs?
Not yet. It is on my list to go. So as I hop to all of these places all over the city, like those are things that it's like we should be committed to making time and space there and supporting those businesses. So we need to be ride or dies for these places.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's also good to last thing to be like, cause you said like, sometimes they'll just go to watch an episode of something. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I really like that. I used to do that a lot. Like me and my friend, it wasn't necessarily gay bars, but like we would go to watch The Walking Dead at like the Blue Line Lounge when they showed it every week. And it was just like nice to not be in the house watching it, but still with a bunch of people who do want to watch it. And now I feel like it's so hard because a lot of places don't want to do that unless it's like drag or something like that. Like, but I would like to do it for something like House of the Dragon. And also it's kind of hard because some stuff is not on the air like that. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a lot of factors, but for the most part, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn. What is your bad queer opinion?
All right. Okay. Get ready. So my bad queer opinion is that we don't always have to like the pop culture that features us like queer people. Mm-hmm. It's okay to like rip it apart and hate it, but then also at the same time want more. And I think I say that because we're so past like accepting and being grateful for representation that now it's fair for us to start picking it apart because it's very much so like, what's the excuse?
Right.
You know, I think, and I say this as a culture writer, right? I say this as a critic. I say this as someone who my livelihood, like what I do for a living, is me engaging with and talking about and writing up and recommending or not these shows and movies. And a big chunk of those are queer. Like, I think people are actually, side notes, shocked when I don't cover queer stuff to know that I don't. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, just because it's gay don't mean I'm gonna watch it.
Exactly. Like,
but I also cover the straights. But anyway, I think, and I know where that comes from. It's that like mentality of being like, this is all we got. Right. So if I say something bad about it, it's going to go away. But I think we should also still be like, and this is not just for critics. This is for like the people on Twitter who just like have a Twitter account or people who are on Letterboxd or on whatever. You can be, we can't have that like scarcity mentality. We have to be like, this sucked. Make something better because it's not us who is the issue. Right. It's the people that are making these things. So those people should, in a better world, hear us be like, all right, let's go ahead and cancel this fucking show because it's terrible and go, let's make something else that has like a queer element to it. Not let's cancel this show because it's terrible and then make something straight. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
It's not really necessarily like our fault. And I also, my bad queer opinion is that like everything, I just killed that. Doesn't have to be, sorry, I did. It was a mosquito. Everything doesn't have to be hella gay.
Mm-hmm.
just because it is gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like the show Home Economics, where there's a dabble of gay,
yeah.
right? I love that. But I also, at the same time, do love it where everything is gay, too, right? But yeah, I think we have to stop being so like scared to say that we hate things and scared to say that things are bad or things could be better, because people have been doing that with straight TV and film for years and things have gotten better. You yeah. feel me?
Yeah.
And I also, my other little bit of that bad queer opinion is like, stop being mad at queers when we watch stuff that's like terrible. Like, I loved Game of Thrones. Am I a woman? They hate them in that universe. Am mm-hmm. I Black? Non-existent. Mm-hmm. Like, am I queer? Kill them all. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yes, I understand that they hate me in that show, but it's also a show about fucking dragons, right? And like, let me watch this show that's so terrible and don't, or not terrible, but you know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. like mean to women or whatever. Let me just watch this show and be like, yeah, I liked it. Actually, I was involved and invested. Because people don't do that, because I'm watching House of Dragons
yeah.
now and I like it
mm-hmm.
and I'm getting slack about it, but people, or flack about it, whatever the word is, but people don't say that when they're watching stuff like The Handmaid's Tale, right? Yeah. Like, that is literally another dystopian fucking world that
which I am very invested
women, in. Which I, hello, me too, right? Like,
when but I found nobody, out the other day that the first two episodes came out,
hello. Ran. I like to let those build up because I can't watch them weekly.
Yeah, I had the day off and it had the first two episodes out. And so I just made, and it was like the middle of the afternoon when I was like, all right, finally, I'm going to sit down and just like actually relax. It. And it was, I turned on Hulu to go watch one of my like upbeat trash shows. And then I looked and was like, I'm sorry, there is a large advertisement for Handmaid's Tale right now. Is it back? And turns I literally out. Went and closed all of my blinds. I made my
yeah.
living room as dark as possible because I was like, that is make the only way that we could watch it. And my girlfriend came back down and watched, and she was just like, what are you? And then she saw and she was like, oh, Handmaid's Tale is back. This all makes sense now. I'm going to go sure back to the sunny side of the house. And I was
exactly.
like, exactly.
Like, I, but it's just like nobody, it's the same terrible dystopian world
mm-hmm.
where all the same harm is happening. But a lot of white feminists like to be like, oh, you should definitely watch that.
Yeah.
And we're not going to give you any shit for watching that. But you watching and loving and supporting House of the Dragons. How dare you?
How
get
dare
the
you?
Fuck out of here, bro. Like, but yeah, that's my bad queer opinion. So I think y'all should be doing that. If you don't like something that's gay, say this is gay and bad. Because I love when gay people are like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope I still have a job after this.
I was like, everybody comes on the show and just kind of risks it. And so far, so good. So far, we haven't had any.
I always any do that. Things, like,
so
every time
fine.
I think I'm like not going to get another gig or whatever, people are like, yeah, we actually heard you say that. But are you going to like watch this for us or what? And I'm yep. like, yeah,
they're like, I you're love. The exact person that we would want to watch it because. You were actively
critic,
saying these things out loud.
I have a little more to say. I'm sorry. As a critic, I just think that you cannot be scared to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, because like we're critics for a reason. And that's why I hate critics, because they jump on bandwagons because they're scared. Because
yeah.
the same shit happened with Don't Worry, Darling, which is a fucking phenomenal film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's out for the public yet, but like I saw it a few weeks ago. It's phenomenal. And people are saying it's terrible because one fucking critic that's like a big dude said it. So they were all like, well, I can't say I like it. I loved it. It's fantastic. But like, yeah, I'm finished ranting now.
Oh,
take the mic away it. From me.
We are going to get into so many shows and I'm going to learn so much. We're all going to learn so much about all of the things that we never paid attention to and the stuff that we should. So please. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show by giving shout outs to our faves, because you know, we would never leave you without giving shout outs to our faves. So my shout out this week goes to Oakland to All. It is the Bay Area ballroom scene. I was like, I was very jealous to find out that this now existed and the space that they're hosting it and all the performers. It was founded by Shireen, a.k.a. Hype Kitty, and Sailor G, a.k.a. DJ Guardian Gorilla Bump. So these events, y'all, I've only seen the videos, but my old roommate went to them and she says that they are incredible. The videos look incredible. You need to go and support this. So be sure to follow them at Oakland to All on IG and hit up one of their events.
My turn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My shout out, and I'm going to do this because I have to. My shout out is to Autostraddle. Not because I have to, but I have to when I want to.
Yes.
Autostraddle at Autostraddle on all social media. Autostraddle.com. It's dope as shit. I'm the culture editor there. And we had something really big happen to us today.
Mm-hmm.
We were literally name dropped on... What is it? Late Night with Seth Meyer?
Yes, like hard name dropped.
But like hard,
a full featured moment.
Like a full moment.
Yep.
It was about an article that Danny fucking Janae, Belle Biv DeHo, yes, you heard her IG name correctly. She wrote an article and they name dropped it and name dropped Autostraddle and it was gay and it was dope and it was cool. And people were like,
and it was actually like on brand too. Like the joke that they did with it was actually pretty glorious, especially for like a late night show.
Brand.
I was like, yes.
I was just so proud of us. I was so proud of Danny. Danny's incredible. So that's my shout out. And then I have another one.
Go for it.
Can I yes, do two?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, I'm so charming. I'm also spoiled. Anyway, my second shout out is to the strawberry soft licorice at Trader Joe's. It's so
I can't believe
good.
You actually did the show.
I did because it's so good. And Trader Joe's is basically gay. It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's really yummy. But like, don't buy it if you're in Chicago because I'm in Chicago and I don't want that sellout shit.
Wow.
It's like gone. So,
wow.
Or if you buy it, don't buy it at the one in South Loop. That's my Trader Joe's.
Okay.
Go somewhere else.
Specifically.
But that's it. Ta-dum.
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Shelly, for joining us and for continuing to join us. So this is not the last time of you that you'll be hearing from Shelly. She's going to be with us for a few more episodes. As you know, we are not going to be recording weekly. So we will be having some throwback episodes and some guest episodes from some of our other favorite podcasts that are going to be tuning in between each. But keep an eye out. Shelly is going to be back. We're going to be having guests. We're going to be doing more of these. So thank you, Shelly, for stepping in and helping us out while Chris is dealing with baby Beyonce, aka baby Emery, and all of that. And for everybody else, we will see you eventually and appreciate you for tuning in.
Yay! Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Her Social app, the largest platform for queer women, non-binary, and trans people. Download Her to make new friends and love connections. Check out their new pride pins for your profile today.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our amazing soundtrack and Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. It's me again. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.